That's what baptism is supposed to mean. That's why dunk them and dunk them good. It means there goes the sin. Let it go. Let it be cleansed away. Let it be taken away and come into the kingdom. Come into the kingdom. Come in where that sin is no longer your nature, where that sin doesn't define you anymore, where the sin has been cut away by what Christ has done. And now be buried with him. Bury that dead person that used to be under the authority of Satan. And the scripture says, now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Christ, all things have passed away. I'm new. And I don't know if we're going to read that tonight. I don't know if we'll have time. Gosh. And you being dead in sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, Jesus, made alive together with him. He made you alive again. You didn't realize it, but you were the walking dead. Your heart was beating. Your lungs were pumping air. But for all purposes, for all eternal purposes, before Christ, you were already dead. Before Christ, you lived in death. What? You had already begun the journey to hell. You were born into sin. And unless you found Christ and changed kingdoms, you actually were born to die after the fall. So you think you're living. When you're smoking dope and drinking and fornicating, you're just dead. You're dead. You're just already being used by Satan. You're already being primed for hell. You're already being tormented. You're already having the wages of sin in your body, disease, sickness, health problems, poverty. You're already dead. Quit calling dead fun. Quit calling dead life. Call dead dead. You were already dead. Do you know what? God doesn't send you to hell. You were born going to hell. Because Satan had authority over you. But Jesus Christ came to reconcile you, to let you become a friend of God, so that you could enter into his kingdom by your choice to be there, so that you could be born again alive. What about dead did you like? Because whatever you thought you liked, it really shows where you're still dead. To the degree that you can look on your past without Christ and think that there was life there, is to the degree that you're still dead and you need to be resurrected into new life. Where am I? Okay, all right. Being buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from among the dead. And you being dead in the sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven all of the sin, blotting out, now listen, blotting out the handwriting in the ordinance against us, which was contrary to us. Even he has taken it out of the midst, nailing it to the cross. What is he saying? When Jesus Christ went to the cross, even before you were born, he went there and he took all of your sins. And he took all the sins of mankind. He took all the sins that came against you, plus all of your sins that went against someone else. So that makes all iniquity on the cross. Iniquity is the sin of your forefathers. It makes all of your now sin on the cross. It makes all of the sin of people who come against you on the cross. Jesus became one with the sin. The sin came on him at the cross. And he took it all to the grave. I believe he took it. The Bible says he went. He tasted of death, hell, and the grave. So he even took that sin. And the old man of you, which we're going to see, that had to go to hell, you already went there with Christ. And it was paid for. But he let it go there through him. through his body. It went there through him. So you have to see that sin coming. All your sin, all your transgression, all the things in your sin nature that made you the person who looked like Satan. Whether it was the good side of Satan, ha ha ha, or the evil side, wicked. It's all wicked. All of it has already gone to the cross. He died for all man's sins. And he's not going to die again. Okay? I believe he took out the law that was written against you, where Satan could say, well, they can't go to heaven because they did this. They can't go to heaven because they did this. They can't go to heaven. Look at this sin in their life. Look how they submitted to me here. Look how they lie like me. Look how they curse like me. Look how they murdered like me. Look how they did this. They can't get into heaven, God, if I can't get into heaven. They're my children. And then Jesus, who was sinless, which we all know, he said, you know, they can't get into heaven looking like him. They can't get into heaven being liars, drunkards, adulterers, fornicators. They can't get into heaven being haughty and prideful, arrogant, superior, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self. They can't. They do just look like him. They have his very nature in them. But if I take all that nature and I take it into the flames of hell where it's consumed. And Georgian had a powerful revelation when he said, where do you think the fire in hell comes from? God is a consuming fire. Why do you think David says if you go to hell, you can't get away from him? But you don't want a body that hasn't been reconciled with God going into the presence of a consuming fire. Because it consumes every single thing that isn't sanctified. Well, if God isn't in there, guess what? None of it is sanctified. Your sin had to go to hell. And the sin nature that was the nature of the devil in you had to go to hell too. There's nowhere else for it to go. But isn't it awesome if you get this before you die? And you decide you want to be a friend with God and you want to be in his kingdom and you don't want your sin nature and you don't want Satan to be your father, and you can say, you know, I don't see him as my father anymore. I don't give him authority anymore. I accept your friendship, Jesus. I accept your way of escape from being eternally damned. But the main reason and the only reason to truly come to Christ is because I want to have a friendship with God. I want to know God. I want him to be my friend. And I'm thankful that even as filthy and dirty and everything that I did in the sin nature, everything I did when Satan was pulling my strings and playing games with me, everything I did that I hate, everything about hate that I hate that was the nature of Satan in me, every bit of that that made me feel like God would never want me as a friend or had me believing a lie and blaming God like who wants him, every bit of that that separated me from God, Jesus took care of on the cross. And Satan says, well, you can't go. You can't go. You can't be a friend of God. You can't go to heaven. Don't you remember when you did drugs and robbed that person and did those things? And you're like, you know, I do remember that. But he died for that. And I want that part of me separated from who I am in Christ. I want that out. Now God lives inside of me. This doesn't have to stay. Actually, it has to go. So that old man, which we'll see in a minute, that old nature, that sin nature, that which belonged to Satan, or that which Satan perverted and put in me, I want to see all of it on the cross. I want all of it on the cross. Every evil, wicked, horrible thing. You can't hold on to part of it and truly hate the enemy. Hate what God hates. Love what God loves. So you put all that on there. You can't just put on there the stuff that was done to you that you didn't like. You have to put on there the stuff you did that you didn't like. You've got to put on there the stuff you did that you thought you liked, but went against God. I've got such a powerful teaching on that. We won't get to it tonight, but about pleasure. It's unbelievable. Makes you think, I can't hate that. It's too much fun. There's nothing fun, quote unquote, happy, that Satan's ever come up with. God put that potential in you. Satan just perverted it. It's like, let me say this. It's like God has this awesome gift for you of unbelievable ecstasy and pleasure when you let loose and go into full worship. And it just makes you lose all inhibition and your mind just gets out of the way and you enjoy God. But you can take certain drugs that Satan knows will trigger that part of your mind. And you'll become a lover of the pleasure instead of a lover of God. Satan didn't make your mind capable of giving you that pleasure. He just found out about it. And he made a way to trigger that thing that's going to destroy you and hurt you. Put you in wrong relationships if it's sexual pleasure. Make you overeat if it's pleasure about food. Make you a pervert if it's sexual pleasure. And make you almost kill your own self playing with your mind and make you brain damaged with something awesome that God placed there. God created you for his good pleasure. God's all into pleasure. And it's almost like this, that pleasure button, that pleasure button that Satan's taking credit for, he has nothing to do with the pleasure part. He just put a lot of dog doodle around it. And be more descriptive, you know what I mean? A sick dog. And you dive right into it to get to the pleasure because you've become a lover of pleasure instead of a lover of God. Now think about that before you smoke the joint and think it can't hurt anything. Do you see what I'm saying? Satan didn't make your mind so that drugs or alcohol could make you forget things. He didn't do that. He has nothing to do with pleasure. God made a place in your mind where his spirit could come and get you drunk with the Holy Ghost, which would just so make you so full of God that there's no problems. Not pretending, not fake, can't damage you, can't give you brain damage, can't OD on it, or if you did, you'd be raptured right in the arms of God, hallelujah, like Enoch. Do you see what I'm saying? Satan never gave you any pleasure. He just found where God had created you for pleasure, and he put garbage all around it to mock God at you going after it, no matter what slime you had to crawl through to get there. Do you want to hear a really graphic thing to help? If you got little kids, close your ears. You think your pleasure in sexual things is okay? Your sexual addictions were okay? That it was only because you got AIDS or some disease or messed up a relationship that's the problem? No. The problem is you allowed a pleasure that God placed there for his purposes to represent something about his kingdom where he would give you one person to love like he loves you, one person with this where you could share your bodies, one person where it'd be awesome and produce children and it'd cause wonderful things. No question about disease. No way it could cause AIDS. Nothing. It's just about this oneness that God gave you with one human being, just like true worship is a oneness with God that most of the church hasn't tasted yet. And there's pleasure to that. God made it pleasurable because he created you for good pleasure. But do you know what? Some person who is so demonized could rape their own daughter and get the same pleasure. So if you're a lover of pleasure, you don't care how you get there because pleasures become your God. You think masturbation is great? Well, wait till you see the video in heaven if you don't hate it and repent of all the demons touching your body that belongs to God and causing you to be demonized with lust for pleasure. Oops, I think we just hit the PG-13 level. You need to hate what God hates. Because Satan has taken the most awesome things that God has given us when he created us in his image and his likeness for our good pleasure, for his good pleasure. He has taken it and he has put gross, demonic things all about it and caused you to target the pleasure instead of going after the God who releases the pleasure. You know why it's so easy to go from marijuana to heroin and needing the next high till you kill yourself and burst right into hell? Because Satan will give you all that you want if you jump through his little devices. Because when you go after pleasure as your God, it makes you just like Satan. You become a liar, a deceiver, a thief. You become self-centered, lustful, arrogant, boastful, rebellious. But if you would just let God be in charge of your body and let God's ways be your ways and break the power of rebellion, then he would put you into an awesome relationship with another person, which would make a great marriage without all the altar calls, without all the deliverance, without all the perversions getting on your kids from line upon line. Your daughters wouldn't be trying to be men. And your sons wouldn't be trying to be daughters. And everybody wouldn't be so messed up and perverted if you could just get a hold of the cross. And that God placed the pleasures there for his purposes to represent holy and wonderful things in the kingdom.